the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I would think that the dominant question that most Christians ask of themselves, the Lord, is not, Lord, give me more power, release more anointing. We have like people getting healed. I think there's people who pray for that, Lord, offering them a greater love for those, that kind of thing. I think the thing that most Christians secretly struggle with or pray about is an area in their life they want to get set free from. Or maybe several areas. Lord, I would like to get set free from this sin, this behavior, this attitude, this whatever. And therefore, that's really the most important subject any preacher or teacher can ever discuss. Because Jesus first and foremost came to set us free from the power of sin. I think we've looked at this before, but it's really familiar passage that we often quote in relationship to praying for people to heal, that kind of thing. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who continually lives, practices righteousness, is righteous. Just as Jesus is righteous. The one who practices the lifestyle of sin is the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what's the work of the devil he's talking about here? The power of sin. Setting us free from sin, from unrighteousness. So it's good to talk about that verse in relationship to praying for the sick and bringing about deliverance from demonic oppression in people's lives. He came to destroy all the works of the devil. But that scripture, the context is, the number one enemy that believers deal with is the issue of the power of sin. How can I get free from the sin? So let's read some verses from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? He's just got through saying, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? And what he basically is just saying is it okay to keep sinning, therefore, in light of the fact that grace is going to cover you? May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, who have been placed into the life of Christ, have been placed into his death? And he says here, beginning in verse 2, may it never be, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? That sounds like past tense. And it is. Suddenly, past tense, the original language, is the tense of some reaction. Like, totally done. Total victory. Therefore, he says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Verse 10, for the death he died to sin. Once and for all. So the issue is because I've been placed in the Christ, his death to sin, which happened 2,000 years ago, because he took on the sin of the world, right? And he died to it. He didn't just die for it. He died to it. The person who took on sin was buried, crucified, buried. And he rose up, somebody not carrying that sin anymore. It's not affecting him anymore. He says, don't you know that you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. The verse before he says that we died to sin, then why should we still live in it? God forbid we should just keep on sinning because grace has got it covered, so don't worry about it. It's a little stressful to worry about sin, so why not just sin? And God's grace has got it. And I've heard that nonsense in the body of Christ. I've heard some nonsense years ago. I'm dark but lovely, so just go be dark all you want to because God loves me anyway. That's something that he does, but there's something wrong with that picture. He says, don't you know that when he died to sin, death to sin is your death to sin. So the real issue with it, and I know this sounds like a subtle thing, but it's a big deal because Christianity is lived by faith. The prayer of asking God to set you free from sin is really poor theology. He did already 2,000 years ago. When Jesus died on the cross to sin and his power to affect him, you in him died to that sin also. That's why it says in verse 7, for he who has died is free from sin. And you died in Christ. So instead of us begging God to set us free from something in our life, maybe what God's called us to do is by faith, thank him that we have been set free from that sin, and Jesus accomplished that 2,000 years ago. It became true to me the moment I was born again. It was true for me 2,000 years ago. Because Jesus accomplished it. That's when he died. I was in him. Just like that. That's really significant. Because then you find yourself no longer begging God to set you free from something you've already been set free from. God, I'm going to die to that sin. It can't happen, so I don't. I just want to die to self. You did already. Sorry, too late. Took care of that one. Check that one off. It's about believing what he's done. The thing I love about verse 7 says, for he who has died is freed from sin. In your Bible, you probably have a number right above it. Free to the margin, what that word free literally means is really the word righteous. For he who has died has been made righteous from sin. In other words, not only did you die to that sin you're struggling with, you have the righteousness of Christ. You're righteous in that area. That's your freedom. You've already been made righteous. In that area. For he who has died is made righteous from sin. It's already happened because you've been placed in Christ. That's the truth. And it's the truth that will set us free. Instead of begging God to set you free from being whatever, and because you want to be this instead, maybe we're supposed to start thanking God that I've been set free from that already. I died to it in Christ. And that I already am that and have that in Christ. I'm righteous in that. That's why it says, the latter part of this chapter, Romans 6, he says, I'm trying to figure out which one, verse 16, do you not know when you present yourself to some of the slaves to obedience? For obedience, you are slaves. The one whom you obey, one resulting in death, the other resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart when you were converted. That form of teaching to which you were committed, having been freed, made righteous in sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That area which you're willing to get free from, the bad, and you want to start manifesting the good, it's already happened. You've been freed from it. And that quality that's the opposite of it is already yours in Christ. It's just about believing. And then walking it out in practical life. God made it easy for us. The battle may be severe, but the battle is between our two ears to not believe.